Do you know that from your position, you can change a situation? Do you also know that you are the master over the created world and that you are meant to rule over everything God has made? Listen carefully to Pastor Segun Obaje as he brings to you with simplicity and clarity the message of the new creation realities in Christ Jesus. Be blessed as you listen.
And so, Father, our hearts are grateful and open to you to receive your word. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your good hand upon us. Thank you for protection. Thank you, Lord God, for being our God, our covering, for being our strong tower. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Be exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Today, Lord, we declare that your word goes forth with power and grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Say a big amen. All right, welcome to church in Jesus' name. For all the online worshipers and viewers, we say welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Please, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Just 3 days ago, I began praying, and then the Lord began to reveal to me the need to understand the times and the seasons that we are in. And a lot of people are wondering, what is happening to our world? All right, I'm not sure in the history of mankind on earth there's ever been anything of this nature, of this kind. And people are wondering, so where do we go from here? All right, what is next in line? How do we handle this? How do we come out of it? And how do we make sure something of this kind does not happen again? Praise the Lord. And so, and the Lord encouraged me with some words of prophecy, and I love to encourage us with the same words, because there's nothing that can encourage at this time more than the words of God. God is the Alpha and Omega, is the beginning and the end. He knows all things. And so he can tell us what the future holds for us. So I want you to understand the times that we are in. The Bible calls these days the last days. And then he also calls it the end of time. The end of time. Now there are prophetic words that had gone ahead through the prophets of old by the Spirit of God to encourage us, to prepare us for this end time, so that we know how to carry ourselves and we are not moved by what unbelievers are moved by, and we are not intimidated or afraid in any way by what is happening around us. So I want to call your attention to the prophecy given by the Spirit of God through Prophet Joel. Prophet Joel in chapter 2 and verse 23. All right, Prophet Joel, Joel chapter 2 and verse 23. He says, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he had given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." Praise God. And then he goes on and says, "And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmerworm, my great army which I sent among you." Verse 26. "And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall not be ashamed. and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Can someone say amen to that? And then verse 28, he says, and it shall come to pass afterward. Afterward. After what? Afterward. That I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered or saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord had said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Can someone say amen to that? Now God is preparing us to understand the times that we are in. Now first, he's saying here that there is going to be a boom, a prosperity boom, all right? And that prosperity boom will usher in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, all right? And then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will usher in the day of the Lord. Now, between the time that the Spirit of God is poured out and the day of the Lord, which is the appearing of Jesus Christ to catch up the saints, praise God, all right? Between that time frame, that time duration is called the last days. Now, the last days began at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. You start the reading from verse 1. All right, Peter gave a prophetic understanding of what was happening at the time. And he told the people, he said, look, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Prophet Joel, that in the last days, God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And it happened at Pentecost. The Spirit of God was poured out. So according to God's calendar, the last days began at Pentecost. Now between Pentecost and the appearing of the Lord, that means the appearing of the Lord in the air is a spiritual appearing. And then the saints will be caught up to be with him. Praise God. He calls it the last days. Now, so if we look at eschatology, the last days is actually divided into two, all right? The former last days and the latter last days. The former last days here speaks of the last days between Pentecost and the catching up of the saints. And then the latter last days speaks of between the catching up of the saints and the appearance of the Antichrist, the tribulation, and then the final judgment. Praise God. So we'll talk about the last days. There is a portion of the last days that addresses us as believers, and then there's a portion of the last days that addresses the unbelievers. Praise God. Now let's look at the portion of the last days that addresses us. All right. Now, the Bible tells us, first and foremost, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there was a boom all over the world. There was a boom, an economic boom all over the world. I mean, the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And, you know, empires began to rise, kingdoms began to rise. They became very powerful and wealthy. Amen. For example, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, in fact, at that time, that was when the Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire rose and became very strong and very wealthy with a lot of global influence. In fact, Jesus was born in that time. Glory to God. And so, Jesus walked the face of the earth, died, and then was raised from the dead, ascended up on high, sat down at the right hand of the Father. And then the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And that outpouring of the Holy Spirit signified something in God's calendar. The clock of God began to tick, 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 tick. The last days, the last days, the last days. So souls were saved, and the gospel was preached, the church was born, and great things began to happen all over the world. There was a massive revival, an awakening of people to the consciousness of God through Christ Jesus. And that began until the Dark Age. The Dark Age was when the church was seemingly conquered, and the truth of the gospel was hidden within, you know, the temple, so to speak, hidden within the orthodoxy arrangement that was at the time. And the Bible tells us that there was a move of the Spirit that happened thereafter that brought an awakening to the church. And it happened when a man discovered a portion of the scriptures. The just shall live by faith. Praise God. And that the just is not justified by the system of the church. I don't want to mention names, you know. That was when Catholicism became very strong, but I don't want to go into all that. But this is the point. There was a Protestant move. Protestant in that it was against the order of the church that was at the time. All right, so they call them Protestant. That means anything that is against the church order. All right, the Catholic order and the church order, the Church of England and all that, the church, the Roman Catholic. Praise God. So they were called Protestant. So the Pentecostal move, all right, that had happened, you know, much, much, much earlier and was reawakened or rekindled, was also called the Protestant move. So the church began to grow. And ever since that time, the church had grown and had grown and had grown, had become so strong that nothing can hold back the church anymore. Praise God. All right. Now, in between that, between the awakening of the church and the move of the Spirit of God, the enemy tried to hinder that reawakening, which is called Pentecostalism, all right, and charismatic move. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, and then operating in the gifts of the Spirit of God. And that happened over a period of time. But in between that, we had wars. All right? In between that, there was a strong, strong war all over the world. The First World War, all right, that had happened, and then the Second World War. The enemy wanted to hold the whole world, you know, to ransom, so that there would be fear and people would not respond to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in the midst of it, there was a mighty, mighty revival and a couple of revivals. The healing revival, the healing move in the U.S., all right. Before that, the Azusa Street revival, and that went on and on. Now, this is the point I'm driving at. The Holy Spirit is showing us again here that there's a repeat of another pattern. Now, watch what is going to happen after this, you know, COVID-19 virus epidemic or pandemic. What is going to happen is there's going to be an economic boom again. Yeah, get ready for it. It's going to cut across the whole globe, fulfilling the scriptures. Amen. Fulfilling the scriptures. Joel chapter 2 and verse 23. Before the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, there was advancement in technology, there was economic boom, and global impact and influence given to the Roman people, the Roman Empire. And then prosperity began. In fact, the gospel was actually preached on the wings of that prosperity. All the roads that the Roman Empire had built all right, as network to organize their kingdom and rule over the nations were the same roads that the Holy Spirit used to network the nations with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The apostles traveled on the same roads, fully paid for, glory to God, built by the Roman Empire. They traveled on the same roads to reach the nations of the world. Glory to God. Now, understand that there is a repeat of the same episode. You know, God is interested in repeating again and again prophetic sequences and order. Praise God. There's going to be another repeat, a massive, massive boom, economic boom. Prosperity like we've never seen it before. But don't forget, this prosperity is meant for something, to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, it is evident that we are closer now to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ than we've ever been. We're closer to it. So, there's going to be a mighty prosperity. Look at it. It says, be glad then, verse 23, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he had given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts. So you see, This is the time people are making losses, all right? Global powers, all right, are incurring massive losses. They are borrowing. They are taking money that they don't have, all right, pumping it back into the economy. Praise God. I learned, is it $3 trillion that the U.S. government, you know, just pumped into the economy just so that the economy doesn't go flat? There's no recession. Now, understand that that is like the locust eating something. Amen. It's likened to a loss. It's likened to a crunch. But listen very carefully. The Bible tells us that after that crunch, there's going to be a mighty, mighty financial boom. So we have to get ready for it. It happened before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's happening again. There's nothing new under heaven. It's just a repeat of prophecies in cycles. I was asking a beloved one in the house, so what do you see about this? What is happening, you know, and all that? And he said a couple of things, and I said, okay. But deep within my heart, I was still praying. I said, Lord, what exactly is happening? What is happening? Let's know what's happening. And then the Lord opened my eyes. All right. He said, start praying. I began to pray, make intercessions. And then he opened my eyes. He said, this is what is happening. Tell my people. Now, let me tell you something. Listen, it does not matter how much anybody has lost right now who is a covenant person, who is walking with God. You are going to make that money back at least 1,000 times. Just know that for sure, because this is a prophetic season for an economic boom. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. The world will use it to promote unrighteousness and ungodliness. All right? The church will use it to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, to push the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the world. All right? Finances, massive finances. And then it tells us, he says, and I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmerworm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wondrously with you. You shall eat in plenty. Come on, say plenty. All right, plenty. Come on, say plenty. Now, I want you to scream it out. Say plenty. All right. Now, in this season, I don't want you to focus on lack. All right? I want us to be very prophetic. We are a people born by prophecy. Don't be circumstantial. Don't look at around and then feel depressed that, okay, where are we going? Where is this all, you know, all this leading us? Now, listen, you have to be prophetic in your view of life. What can you see? What can you see? Come on now, what can you see? Come on now, what can you see? Post-COVID, all right, COVID-19 virus, what can you see? Prosperity. 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 Amen? Prosperity. Now, listen, before God will strategically position you for that prosperity, you must be seeing what God is seeing. You must be on the same page with God. Can someone say amen to that? What can you see? What can you see? Come on, say plenty. I can't hear you. Say plenty. Shout it out loud. Say plenty. All right. And then it says, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. So we must never forget that the plenty, all right, has come as a result of the hand of the Lord. Amen. It says, we shall praise the name of the Lord our God that has dealt wondrously with us. Plenty. And that's what is happening. There's going to be a boom. The church is going to be so rich, so blessed. I mean, there will be churches that will be richer than nations of the earth. Yeah. Like GLT. Glory to God. There will be individuals that will be so rich that you can loan money to a whole nation. Praise God. It's a boom. You see, this is a boom. It's a tide. We have to ride on that wave. Glory to God. And then it tells us. It says, and my people shall not be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. That's, I'm in the midst of the church. Amen. And I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall not be ashamed. Saying it twice. When God repeats a thing twice, all right, he says it again. Listen very carefully. God means business. If he says it once, it's good. It's good enough. Amen. But he's saying it, my people shall not be ashamed. My people shall not be ashamed. Glory to God. Amen. Now, this time, do not see shame that, okay, what will happen now? What if we now run out of food? We run out of stock. All right. And this thing lingers for another 2 or 3 months. What will happen? All right. And the pandemic is all over Nigeria or all over Africa or all over my neighborhood or my country. Listen very carefully. And my people shall not be ashamed. My people shall not be ashamed. My people shall not be disappointed. My people shall never feel insufficient or inadequate. My people shall never be ashamed. Can someone say amen to that? All right. Lift up your right hand, say in the name of Jesus, there is no shame before my face. Come on, say there's no shame before my face. Say there's no shame before my face. Hallelujah. My people, my people. He didn't say the world. He said my people, my own people, my covenant people. All right. Purchased by the blood of the Lamb. My covenant people shall not be ashamed. They shall not be ashamed. Glory to God. All right. Now, listen very carefully. After that boom. Now, I always ask myself, how come, you know, the appointment of the Holy Spirit, you know, doesn't come first and then economic boom? God says, that's not the way I work. All right. You see, this is where I work. Economic boom first and then the appointment of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why? Because, you see, God needs the money to preach the gospel. Amen? So, it causes us to prosper for a cause, for the gospel. For the gospel. And then, it says in verse 28, watch, and it shall come to pass afterward. Not during that boom, afterward. It shall come to pass afterward that God himself will pour out. Verse 28. All right. It shall come to pass afterward. Amen. that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So you see, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came afterward. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now listen very carefully. In the early church, we saw disciples that had landed property, right? They had money. They were blessed. They sold their landed property, brought the money to the feet of the apostles. All right? That means to the care or jurisdiction or oversight of the apostles. And the money was used for the preaching of the gospel. When Peter and John were sent to Samaria, you know, after that, Philip had gone there and, you know, the Lord had moved through him. People had been saved and, you know, they were sent. How? All right. How did they transport themselves there? Money. The church had more than enough. Praise God. Amen. There was prosperity in the church. Of course, there were poor people amongst them, but there was no lack. Because of equal distribution, there was no lack. There was abundance. Praise God. Now, understand how these things work. This prosperity is for the gospel. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. All right? And also upon the servant and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Now, listen to this. This is very important. The prosperity of the church and the spirituality of the church are one and the same. They are very related. You see, the church must not separate our prosperity from her spirituality or our spirituality from our prosperity. They are connected. The reason God is blessing the church is for a purpose. All right? There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will come with utterance, will come with the quickening of God, will come with visions and revelations. Now, the purposes of God on earth will be serviced by that prosperity. Amen? We have to understand it. We have to know it. This is how it works. And when God moves upon his people and there is prosperity, there's abundance, there's plenty to eat, plenty to wear, plenty to keep in the bank, plenty. All right? It is to one end. And that end is that the gospel be preached to the ends of the world. Can someone say amen to that? So there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to birth a move of God, a mighty move of the Spirit of God. People will be saved. People will be filled with the Holy Ghost. People will be transformed. Addictions will be broken. Praise God. Men will turn from their wicked ways and they will run to God. Can someone say amen to that? Now, these, the cankerworms, the caterpillars, the things that are happening all over the world, the pestilence, all right, the plague is to remind the world of their vanity without God. So they can come to God. There's a shaking right now. The nations and the kingdoms of the world are being shaken to one end. All right, so that the desire of the nations might come. Hallelujah. And that is the desire for Jesus, the desire for his salvation, the desire for his goodness, the desire for his love, the knowledge of the word of God, the knowledge of the glory of God will now flood all the earth as the waters cover the sea. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. So if you don't understand what is happening, you will be afraid. You feel like, where are we going in all this? What is happening? All right? God is back of the coordination and the fulfillment of prophecy. Amen? Things are being shaken now. Nations, their health care, they can't depend on their health care anymore. Can you imagine what is happening in the world right now? Almighty, in quote, superpower America. Look at what is happening. Look at Europe with the level of development there, even in Italy. Look at what happened in Italy and what is still happening. Amen. It tells us one thing, Now people will begin to build their confidence more in divine health. Because you see, let me tell you something. If you trust in something and it is quaking under your feet, and then it tells you to trust in something else, all right, more dependable than that thing. True. It's just common sense. People will now rely on God absolutely. All right, thank God for medical science. Thank God for advancement and all that. All right, but listen very carefully. Some may trust in horses. Some may trust in chariots. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Hallelujah. We will trust in the name of the Lord our God. We know the horse is prepared against the day of battle. But safety is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Can someone say amen to that? The world is becoming more and more helpless, all right, to create that void, that need for the gospel. So this is the time for the church to swing in and give them the gospel. Can someone say amen to that? This is the time. This is not the time to be afraid with the world. This is not the time to, hey, they're afraid, you're afraid too. They're shaking, you're shaking too. They are running helter-skelter. You are running too. No. Understand that our lot is maintained. Amen. At this time, our lot is maintained. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. For the Lord himself has chosen our inheritance for us, even the excellency of Jacob. Amen. The Lord is the portion of our inheritance and of our cup. He maintains our lot. So be not afraid. Understand what is playing out. There's prophecy being fulfilled here. Amen. This is not just circumstantial. There's prophecy being fulfilled here. Because this is the best time for the healing anointing to break forth. Amen. And become a pandemic. Amen. And you know, healing evangelists, healing mantles are released upon the earth. Amen. To draw people to Jesus. The mantles of the supernatural. Creative miracles. Amen. This is the time. Because if God is endowing us with grace, and there is no need for that grace, people will despise it. So the need is there. Is there. Is out there in the world. Amen. And they are coming. En masse. Glory to God. They are coming. Say amen to that. They are coming. They're coming. So understand this. And let me tell you something. There are very unlikely ones amongst us. Listen to this carefully. You don't look like you'll become a billionaire in a couple of years from now. But because of prophecy, when prophecy is what God has decided to do, all you need to do is just line up with what God has decided to do. That's all. Just line up. You don't have to struggle because this is a move. It's a move. It's what God has decided to do. So you see the way God will be opening up opportunities to you, amen, showing you things that other people are not seeing. Can someone say amen to that? Why? Because the gold and the silver, all right, is for the house of the Lord. He says, I'll fill my house with glory. Amen. The silver and the gold is mine. It's for the house of God. When God blessed Israel in Egypt, all right, and spoiled the Egyptians, gave them favor overnight. Over the night, and it was overnight. Glory to God. And they spoiled the Egyptians. It was for one purpose, for the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness. You see, prosperity always comes before the move to build the house of God for people to be saved. It's God's order. Amen. So I'm in faith believing God for 100 billionaires, praise God, that will say, Pastor, by the grace of God, we are here with you. All right? Keep preaching the gospel. We are with you any day, any time, partnering with you. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. It's for the gospel. Therefore, I prophesy according to this word. Amen. It is time for you to prosper. You go from strength to strength. Prosperity is yours. Prosperity is yours. The doors are open. The nations are open to you. The wealth of the nations are coming to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The riches of the nations are coming to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that? Say amen. Now listen, position yourself. You may be seated. Refuse to see lack. Don't say, it will finish. And so when it finishes, what happens? No. 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 Amen? No. And then, next in line, all right, it says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. That means everybody will have a fair share of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Can someone say amen to that? Everybody. And then it tells us in verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Now, when Peter quoted from the book of Joel, Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, all right, he stopped at verse 30. He stopped at verse 29, I beg your pardon. He didn't quote verse 30. Because what was relevant at that time, that was the very beginning of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What was relevant at that time was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, salvation of souls. When there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the miraculous begins. Amen? There's salvation of souls. There's love work. People just want to love. There's an anointing. There's the grace of God to walk in love. Harmony. All right. He stopped at that point because the other part of that prophecy is meant for the latter part of the last days. And we are very close to it now. In fact, we are in it. Praise God. It's been, you know, over 2,000 years that the Spirit of God was poured out at Pentecost in Jerusalem. Praise God. Amen. Now, listen. We are in the latter part. And now, you see, what is happening right now is just pestilence. All right? What they call plague. The Bible calls pestilence. If you take your time to study, you know, the trends or principles of pestilences and plagues. Any epidemic or pandemic that breaks out in the world, what causes that? Read the Bible. Amen. God has three instruments of judgment in his hand against the nations of the world. All right? For their unrighteousness and their sinfulness. Number one is called plague. Plague or pestilence, that is a pandemic, an outbreak. All right? God will withdraw his covering and the devil can do it. Number two, war. War. Amen. Number three, famine, hunger. Those are the three weapons in the hand of God to punish the nations of the earth who have forsaken him. Amen. Three weapons. If you read the Bible, when Israel went against God and turned in the direction of the ways of the nations of the earth, the heathen. All right, those three weapons came against them. Amen. All right, so these are three weapons in the hand of God. When you read the Bible, you understand what we're dealing with here. All right, God will just withdraw his covering and his protection, and the enemy can strike. So anytime you see a mighty outbreak of war, nations just disagreeing, they just want to fight, and you know, the missiles are psh, 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 everywhere, traveling. it is because of something. There's always a judgment back of it. Praise God. All right, but that's not what we're dealing with today. But the point here is that we haven't seen anything yet in terms of, you know, the world coming under fear. Because, you see, in the midst of this mighty outpouring, it tells us, go to verse 30, please. Verse 30. Joel chapter 2 and verse 30. Verse 30, and I will show wonders. Who will show wonders? God. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Now, these are not wonders as in miracles, great wonders, you know, the blind seeing. No. It says, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. The heavens here means this is the atmospheric heaven. There are three heavens the Bible speaks of. The atmospheric heaven, all right, the heavenly places where you have demons, all right, and then you have the literal heaven where the throne of God is, the third heaven. Praise God. So the heavens used here is the atmospheric heaven. It says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. So what does that mean? It means eruptions, volcanic eruptions. All right, the magnitude will be alarming. Now, this is not a tribulation yet. This is before the catching up of the saints. Amen. These are geological, all right, geographical signs and wonders showing us that the end is here. The end is here. When we see these things, all right, we must know that they are follow up, you know, they are follow up to the witness of the Holy Spirit within us that we need to watch our ways, consider our ways, do the work of the ministry, serve the Lord Christ. Can someone say amen to that? Man, these are signs. And in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Now, what we just saw and we're still seeing, all right, in the world is pandemic. That's a pandemic. That's called pestilence or plague. That's what the Bible says, noisome pestilence. It's noisome in that it's something that everybody's talking about. Amen? You know, everybody's talking about it. It's so severe that people are talking about it. They cannot but talk about it. Praise God. But listen very, very carefully. In the midst of all that, there will still be things that have to do with the earth. This pestilence has to do with people. All right? Look at it. This has to do with the earth. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Go on, next verse. The sun shall be turned into darkness. We've not seen that yet. They saw a bit of it in Egypt when the plagues came from Jehovah because Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go. You remember? All right, there was darkness. So much darkness that, you know, one couldn't see another. In the midst of light, the flicker of light was there. It was still very dark. Because they had lanterns, right? But it was so dark that they couldn't find themselves. It says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. Amen? And in the midst of that, read on. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved. It is to bring the nations to their own end, that without God we are nothing. That's it. To bring them to, you know, they will come to it that Jehovah is Jehovah. And people will turn from what they have called the arm of the flesh, their own confidence that medical care, our medical system is the best in the whole world. All right? There's nothing we can't take care of. I don't know what people are going to God for. I don't know why they are depending on God. Science is our God. All right? Their boast is coming to an end. So we see all that. Listen, when we see all that, turn to prophecy. turn to the word of God. Can someone say amen to that? When you turn to prophecy, what you're saying is this: Lord, you are the Most High God. In the midst of all that, we are protected. But you see, my thrill is the prosperity boom that is coming and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's my thrill. We've seen that at Pentecost. We've seen that at certain times, the Azusa Street Revival. We've seen that happen in history, the church history. But you see, there's going to be a massive repeat of that, because God is in the business of repeating different episodes of prophecy. He repeats. He repeats. He repeats. That's what is happening now, church. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Glory to God. So what should be our response now? Don't fear their fear. This hope is not going to come on. It's not good. You see, look, it was not designed to come on you. Are you from what I'm saying here? Understand this thing. How it works. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. It's just like, you know, you hiding gifts in the house for your children, maybe Christmas gift, and you just hide gifts in different places in the house for them. And then you call one, John, come, all right? Somehow, you know, indirectly, you're guiding John to his own gift. And then you call Rebecca, you guide her to her own gift. Praise God. Things have gone ahead as prophecies from God's mouth through his prophets, written in the Holy Scriptures, all right, to show us that, look, this is our portion in all that is happening right now. This is what God has reserved for us. This fear, not for Christians, not for God's children. Understand? All right, I've never even entertained any fear or doubt in my heart. Like, okay, what if? And then, what if? There's no what if there. It's not there. It's not there. I search. It's not there. Because I have eaten the word, scriptures, prophecy. It's not meant for you. If any Christian partakes of this, it is because of fear and ignorance. It's not meant for you. All right, this is the time that saviors, deliverers will arise from Mount Zion. Amen. Judging the mountains of Esau. This is the time. This is the time. God's people possessing their possession in holiness. Understand prophecy. It's not meant for your children. It's not meant for your family members. It's not meant for your extended family members. It's not meant for you. So what's the fear about? What if they run? What if this isn't enough? And someone sneezes. What if, yeah, God. Yeah. No. Fear not your fear. You are the ones that will be speaking over them and commanding the healing power of God to heal them. Can someone say amen to that? That's your destiny. The lack is not your portion. You are the one that will be distributing wealth. You are the one. That's your destiny. Praise God. And as I close, you know, understand how these things work. No fear. Amen? No fear. Psalm 27 and verse 1. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? If you will not fear a person, you will not fear the persons. You are not going to be afraid of the devil. You are not going to be afraid of his plagues. Are you from what I'm saying here? Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? He says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid? Look at verse 2. He says, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Glory to God. Amen. Go on, verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. You see, the Muslim, don't entertain fear. That's the thing. Understand prophecy. God has gone ahead of all this happening. All right? He is the Alpha and Omega. The devil is not smarter than God. God is the only wise God. Amen? All right, God has gone ahead. If the devil is attacking with plagues now, he may think that he is the one that is strong, without knowing that prophecy is being fulfilled, so God withdraws his covering. It's a deliberate thing. So the destroyer can strike. But he thinks he's the one doing it. All right, but he's not the one. There's someone who is called Almighty at the helm of affairs. He's the one directing everything. Glory to God. Amen. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. In this will I be confident. He says, my heart shall not fear. Your heart must not be afraid. Can someone say amen to that? Man. Do you know how many viruses you've overcome in a lifetime up to now? Can you tell? Maybe you've overcome something more terrible than COVID-19. But because there's no news about it, media is not talking about it, you're fine. Amen. I said amen. So be not afraid. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. And Psalm 112 and verse 7. Psalm 112 and verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. All right? Is it not evil tidings that is going on? News, evil news, right? He says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. The child of God must not be and will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Your heart is fixed on God, trusting in the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, you lift up your hands in the morning and say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you because you are my rock. Hallelujah. You are my rock. Glory to God. Amen. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Look at verse 8. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. He shall not be afraid. No fear. No fear. And then Psalm 91. Amen. Verse 9. Let's start from verse 7, please. Thank you. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Say amen to that. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9. All right. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thine habitation. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. Now, this is the time to speak words of faith over your household. Amen. And refuse to be afraid. Particularly heads of homes, parents. Fear in your heart is an inroad into your family. That's the truth. Don't accommodate it. Don't allow fear. Amen? No fear. Glory to God. And what else do we do? It's time to begin to pray. Lord, welcome the next move of the Spirit. We welcome the next move of the Spirit of God. We welcome it. We're praying. Everybody's praying. In fact, this is the time to have a prayer life that is very solid. A prayer life that is very, very solid. Amen. Take time to just watch in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. Lord, what are you doing? Lord, what are you saying? And thirdly, this is a time to pray for the nations. Amen. And have compassion on them. That the mercy of God will reach them. Praise God. All right. People who brag in drinking alcohol, somehow this season, they are fasting. They know that they don't want to die. You know, if they drink alcohol, all right, and they get drunk, COVID-19 can catch up with them. So people are cutting down on alcohol intake seriously. And that's going to impact on... Amen. Praise God. But listen, Listen, this is a sober moment for the world and for the church as well, in that the church is reflecting on God's faithfulness and goodness to us, and also reflecting on our responsibility to the world in the name of Jesus Christ. They are reflecting on their vanity and emptiness without God. Amen. You see how people will open up to the gospel post-COVID-19 because now they know that, yes, there is a God in heaven who rules in the affairs of men. Now listen very carefully. Their hearts are open already. So who is going to sow the seed of the gospel? So that means God is going to raise men and women that will go out to preach the gospel in all the nations of the world. Would you be part of them? Would you let God lead you? Because this is the time to be sensitive to God. All right? When He wants you to give, is the time to give. All right? Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. What is He doing in your heart? What is He saying to you? What is He saying to you? So this is not the time to load yourself with all kinds of movies because you are home. You're going nowhere, so you just keep watching and watching and watching and watch until you sleep there, wake up again. All right? Some people are feeding themselves with series now. All right? Is that the way you're going to spend this opportunity, the Sabbath that the Lord has given you? Some people have not had Sabbath all their lives since they've been working. Amen? But God has given us rest, compulsory, by the government. Stay at home. Some people are going to say, I said stay at home. As in, go and rest at home. Stay at home. How are you going to spend this stay at home? This stay at home season, how are you going to use it? Praise God. All right, prepare. Understand that we're in a season. Prepare. You're going to take advantage of prophecy. You're going to take advantage of the goodness of God dispensed in this season. You're going to make the most of this season, right? Prepare for it. Prepare for it. For some of us, this is the time to do one or two online courses. True? Yes. It's the time to prepare. You've not had time. Say, I don't have time. I've been working around the clock. You have time now. Your boss is not on your case. The work is very minimal now, mild. You can do a course online, a project management course. True? You can do something now. This is a time to say, well, I've not really had time to pray. My prayer life. This is a time to cause that spark in you that will become a mighty fire in you after COVID-19, post-COVID-19. All right, you're on fire praying. Glory to God. Man, this is the time. This is the time. Do something in this season. You've not had time with your wife. You've not had time with your children. This is a time to actually bond with your family. Can someone say amen to that? This is a time to write a book. Amen? This is a time to document a thought. This is a time. This is the time. Amen? This is the time to strategize. This is the time to retreat. This is the time to reconsider your ways. Amen. This is the time to repent. This is the time, you know, this is not the time to heighten carnality. This is the time to repent and deal with some things that God has been calling your attention to over time. This is the time. Praise God. I believe you've been blessed. I want us to be upstanding. I want you to speak to the Lord right now and say, Lord, I've heard your word. I understand that this is a prophetic time. All right? The devil doesn't have the advantage now. No. It's prophecy being fulfilled. This is not like the devil is the one, you know, having the advantage. No, there's no such thing. All right? It's all working together for our good. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. I want us to begin to pray and say, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my heart is open. My heart is open. Deal with me at this time. Lord, have your way in my life. Fulfill your will in my life. Renew me. Renew my strength. In the name of Jesus. Come on, go ahead. Go ahead and pray. Lord, my heart is open. My heart is open. My heart is open. My heart is open. This is my time. This is my season. My heart is open. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord.